VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, thank you so much for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. And we do have a Friday news roundup here today for you. And many things going on in the news. Of course, the big story has been the shooting down in Florida. From FoxNews.com today, the FBI revealed that they received a tip last month that Nicholas Cruz, the 19-year-old accused of killing 17 people on Valentine's Day, had a gun, wanted to kill people, and there was the potential of him conducting a school shooting. Well, the agency admitted that they received a call on January 5th, 2018. A person close to Cruz contacted the FBI through its public access line, that's PAL, their tip line to give concerns of his erratic behavior and disturbing social media post. Under established protocols, the information provided by the caller should have been assessed as a potential threat to life, the statement from the FBI said. We have determined that these protocols were not followed for the information received by the public access line, tip line, on January 5th. It concluded that the caller's information was not forwarded to the Miami FBI field office and no further investigation was conducted at that time. The question is, why not? Why not? Folks, when we continue to have all the liberals out there saying, well, the answer is more gun control, keep in mind this happened in a gun-free zone. It was already against the law. We'll be sharing a statement here momentarily as well from Gun Owners of America on this issue. Fox News is reporting that in the immediate aftermath of Wednesday's school shooting, that the liberal media sprinted to push gun control while vigorously wavering a ridiculous school shooting statistic put off by the anti-gun lobbyist group Every Town for Gun Safety. According to their numbers, there have been 18 school shootings since the start of 2018. Did you hear that? Have you heard the media talk about that over and over? I thought, where have I been in 2018? I have not heard about 18 school shootings. And that's the problem, folks. That claim is bogus. So much so that even the liberal Washington Post found the need to call out them and the rest of the media. There have not been 18 school shootings, as been classified and promoted by fake news, MSNBC, ABC News, NBC, CBS, Time, MSN, the BBC, New York Daily News, and the Huffington Post also carried those numbers in their coverage. The figure originated with Every Town for Gun Safety. It's a nonprofit co-founded by Michael Bloomberg that works to prevent gun violence and is most famous for its running tally of school shootings. Every Town has long inflated its total by including incidents of gunfire that are not school shootings. And such is the case as well with this bogus 18 school shootings that they've been touting and has been going through the media, folks. It's fake news. In these moments of heartache, President Trump said, in darkness we hold on to God's word in scripture. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. He said later this month he'll be meeting with the nation's governors and attorney generals. When we're making our schools and our children safer will be top priority. It's not enough simply to take actions that make us feel like we're making a difference. We must actually make that difference. He tweeted out this morning that he was heading to Florida to meet with some of the bravest people on earth, people whose lives have been totally shattered, working with Congress on many fronts, he said. The president also ordered the flag of the United States to be flown at half staff at the White House and public buildings and grounds and at military posts and naval stations and on different vessels as well until sunset on February 19th. CNSNews.com says Representative Steve Scalise says the power of prayer, even from people he did not know, helped him through the difficult time in June 2017 when a crazy man shot and seriously injured him during a Republican baseball practice in suburban Washington. Anytime there's any kind of tragedy, either shooting or bombing or whatever, immediately you've got a group of legislators that go run out and start calling for gun control, take away the rights of law-abiding citizens. You don't even know the facts to that particular event. And again, look at their bills. He said, read the bills. They have nothing to do with these kind of shootings. Former President Barack Obama, this is from the Daily Caller, demanded unspecified common-sense gun safety laws after the Florida school shooting, but did not specify what exact actions he's calling for or whether what actions would have prevented Wednesday's tragedy from taking place. Also, an official and information about the perpetrator emerges. A relative confides to a newspaper that the troubled youth who committed the mass murder was on psychiatric medications. This is from WND.com. You know, those powerful, little, misunderstood, mind-altering drugs with fearsome side effects, including suicidal ideation and even, a propensity for to be homicidal ideation. The fact is, a disturbing number of perpetrators of school shootings and similar mass murders in our modern era were either on or just recently coming off of psychiatric medications. Folks, their article on this is multiple pages long that goes through and documents the perpetrators of violence and the number of connections that have happened with those that have been on or just coming off psychiatric medications. Is there a tie there that we need to be looking at? What about the violent video games that are just so immersed today? What about Hollywood's impact and glorifying death in every aspect? Gun Owners of America issued their statement. Eric Pratt said the tragedy breaks everyone's heart at Gun Owners of America. We send our sincere thoughts and prayers to everyone affected. It's disturbing to see a coward attack students who are so treasured by friends and loved ones. However, it is disgusting to see media pundits and politicians calling for gun control as the knee-jerk reaction to the tragedy. The fact is that this tragedy happened in a gun-free zone, where sadly over 98% of the public mass shootings occur. Furthermore, anti-gun liberals tell us that these types of shootings don't occur in other countries, but that's a lie, he says. The U.S. is not even in the top 10 when one compares international death rates resulting from mass shootings. No form of gun control will help prevent these tragedies, says Eric Pratt. Instead, Gun Owners of America calls on Congress to immediately pass the Safe Students Act legislation introduced by Congressman Thomas Massie to repeal the Gun-Free Zone School Zone Act, which enables evildoers by leaving teachers, school administrators, and parents unable to protect students. In fact, 81% of police officers support arming teachers to stop school shootings. We'll get your reaction on that later in the broadcast. By the way, FoxNews.com reporting that several schools nationwide bolstered security or shuttered their doors today following threats made in the wake of Wednesday's deadly Florida school shooting. And WND.com reports that one courageous grandmother in Washington who saw alarming signs this week that her grandson was about to conduct his own high school killing spree acted quickly and likely saved many innocent lives. This time, it appears that law enforcement listened. In Everett, Washington, police arrested Joshua Alexander O'Connor, 18 years old, Tuesday, after he made upcoming and credible threats to murder students at Aces Alternative High School with a rifle and homemade explosive devices. O'Connor's grandmother, who had read his disturbing journal entries and learned of his plan, quickly contacted the Everett Police Department. He writes, "I'm preparing myself for the school shooting." He wrote in one entry, "I can't wait. My aim has gotten much more accurate." He also expressed his desire to kill as many people as possible so his massacre would capture the public's attention. Well, after reading the journal, the grandmother discovered a rifle stashed in his guitar case. She then alerted authorities to the grandson's apparent plans, and police went to arrest him. The teen began running from authorities after slipping his hand out of the cuffs. He assaulted an officer, kicked him as he tried to flee. On Wednesday, school officials praised O'Connor's grandmother for acting quickly to prevent the likely tragedy. Well, he appeared in court Wednesday, and his attorney argued that he was only venting his frustrations in his journal. The judge didn't see it that way, set bail at $5 million after the prosecutor argued that the teen is a threat to the community. Folks, you would never find the co-host of The View on ABC mocking Islam, but the Christian faith has become fair game. Matter of fact, on The View, that regularly calls for tolerance, is being blasted for their intolerant rant criticizing Vice President Mike Pence's Christian faith. It came after playing a video clip of former White House staffer Omarosa Manigault Newman discussing the vice president and warning people that Pence thinks Jesus tells him to say things. Scary, says the co-host. It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you. That's called mental illness, if I'm not correct. Hearing voices. ABC News, or ABC's The View, classifying Christianity as a mental illness. Vice President Mike Pence hit back Wednesday at comments made on The View, and he said that, I actually heard that ABC has a program that compared my Christianity to mental illness, and I'd like to laugh about it, but I really can't. He said it's just wrong, and it's an insult not to me, but to the vast majority of the American people who, like me, cherish their faith. My Christianity is the most important thing in my life. Calling it a mental illness. And folks, that's scary, especially when you know that they're pushing for mental health exams for people before they buy guns. You're a Christian? Guess what? You've just been scratched off the list. WND.com reports the Media Research Center President Brent Bozell released an open letter yesterday to ABC News President James Goldston, warning him that the two talk show personalities, that if they don't apologize for bashing Christians, he will be asking his group's millions of grassroots activists to contact advertisers. Offensive statements. One referred to Vice President Mike Pence's practice of his Christian faith as dangerous, and another equated it to mental illness. A release that came out this week, as you know, just a week ago, we had Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. He told us on that program how the University of Central Oklahoma had canceled or disinvited him to come and speak. He had a contract to be there. Well, I received word here yesterday that Ken Ham, who was uninvited, now has been re-invited by the University of Central Oklahoma President Don Betts, has invited Ken to come and give his talk, Genesis and the State of the Culture, on their Edmond campus. Although campus activities, or activists rather, put enormous pressure on the student body president to cancel the lecture at the in their Constitution Hall, President Betts has decided to restore Ham's lecture for March the 5th. Ken Ham said, I'm thrilled my talk at UCO is back on again. Furthermore, by moving my talk from the evening to the afternoon, we now have the opportunity to reach even more UCO students during the school day. UCO is a commuter campus. Many of its students might not have been able to attend in the evening, and he's going to be speaking now in a church that night as well. So his talk and presentation actually expanded as a result. We'll be back in just 1 minute. We've got a news roundup Friday today, and you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many stars are there?
Chris, this is the question for which there is no answer. We go out on a clear night and look up, and we only see about 3,000 or so stars with the naked eye, but with telescopes or binoculars, we can see many more. Scientists estimate that our Milky Way galaxy contains over 200 billion stars, and now we can see billions and billions of galaxies, and we haven't even seen the edge of the universe. With every new telescope, we're seeing whole new regions of space full of galaxies. Chris, God told Abraham that the stars in the sky were in essence innumerable, and how right he was. As always, the scientific information that we gather supports the clear teaching of the Word of God, even those truths that are found when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America and presenting a Friday news roundup today. Lori's been busy gathering stories. We've got Mary on the phones today. Justin in the control room. Bob's writing up the Crosstalk recap here. That'll be on our website later today as well. We so appreciate each one involved in helping to make this program possible. Continuing on with our news roundup today, just released shortly before this broadcast, from FoxNews.com, a federal grand jury in the District of Columbia indicted 13 Russian nationals and three Russian entities accused of interfering in U.S. elections, a spokesman for Special Counsel Robert Mueller's office said. According to the special counsel, the indictment charges the defendants with conspiracy to defraud the United States, three defendants with conspiracy to commit wire fraud and bank fraud, and five defendants with aggravated identity theft. By the way, if you hadn't heard the news earlier today as well, Mitt Romney announced today that he's running for the U.S. Senate in Utah to succeed Senator Orrin Hatch, who announced that he would be retiring. Coming to us from CNSNews.com, in a vote of 39 to 60 yesterday, the U.S. Senate rejected an immigration reform proposal by Senator Chuck Grassley that was based on President Donald Trump's immigration reform framework. The measure was one of four that was rejected by the Senate, including two bipartisan bills, one by Senators McCain and Chris Coons, another by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Mike Rounds of South Dakota and Susan Collins of Maine that were criticized by the Department of Homeland Security. Both bills were opposed by the White House because they failed to deliver on the president's four pillars immigration framework, legal status for 1.8 million Dreamers in exchange for $25 billion in border security, including a wall, an end to chain migration, and major changes to the diversity lottery, visa lottery. Grassley's bill, the Secure and Succeed Act, only mustered 39 votes, while the bipartisan McCain and Schumer measures each had received 50 votes. Also from CNSNews.com, the White House unveiled President Trump's infrastructure plan Monday. Under the bill, decision-making authority will be returned to state and local governments. Also, regulatory barriers that get in the way of infrastructure projects will be removed. In order to streamline the permitting process, the White House will work with Congress to establish a one-agency, one-decision structure for environmental reviews. It will shorten the environmental review process to 2 years while still protecting the environment. President Trump, by the way, donated his fourth quarter 2017 paycheck to the Department of Transportation, letting us know his commitment to the public infrastructure. From Breitbart, Attorney General Jeff Sessions said in an exclusive interview yesterday that the Department of Justice was ending the executive branch legal activism of the previous administration while also fighting the judicial activism of liberal judges. Sessions said that it was that executive branch legal activism that would take cases or regulations or statutes and expand or redefine the meaning of words in order to advance their agenda. He said, you have an agenda, you can't get Congress to pass it, so you use unelected regulatory officials and lawyers to draft regulations and enforcement policies that carry out a political agenda that the people do not favor. He singled out President Obama's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals DACA program that expires March 5th as a primary example of executive branch legal activism, and also went after the courts for preventing President Donald Trump for withdrawing Obama's policy. Interesting story in the National Review. President Trump has created a new division within the Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights with the express purpose of banning mandatory vaccinations across the country and ensuring citizens have a right to choose their own health care. With the establishment of the Conscience and Religious Freedom Division on Thursday, the president laid out his groundwork to dismantle each and every vaccine mandate across the country. I'm sure more details will be fleshed out, and we'll be able to provide those for you here on Crosstalk. From CNS News, the federal government this January ran a surplus while collecting record total tax revenues for that month of the year. According to the monthly Treasury statement released, January was the first month under the new tax law that President Donald Trump signed in December, and collected record taxes in the first month under this tax cut, and actually ran a surplus in this nation during the month of January. The Hill reports President Trump's newly proposed budget includes a proposal to end federal funding for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, part of a package that includes $300 billion for new spending overall, but plans to eliminate federal funding for Corporation of Public Broadcasting over a two-year period. From Matt Staver, he said it's looking more like President Trump was right when early in his presidency he claimed President Obama was in the middle of the FBI's bogus investigation of the Trump campaign. He said, first, we had an FBI agent's text stating plainly that POTUS, President of the United States, wants to know everything about these FBI's pre-election investigations into Hillary Clinton. This direct reference to former President Obama raises huge red flags as to what President Obama knew and when he knew it. Then two members of the Senate Judiciary Committee released a key email that creates even more questions about President Obama's involvement in the anti-Trump actions of the FBI. He said it was just recently uncovered that on January 20th, 2017, Inauguration Day, outgoing National Security Advisor Susan Rice sent an email to herself that was clearly designed as a cover memo to protect herself and President Obama. She allegedly was using the email to document what happened during a meeting with President Obama 15 days prior, in which Rice said Obama insisted that everything in the Trump investigation be done by the book. But as WND.com pointed out, then FBI Director James Comey held a super secret meeting with President Obama just 2 weeks before President Trump's inauguration to discuss alleged Russian interference in the 2016 election, and Comey appears to have intentionally misled Congress about the Oval Office talks. Comey has never informed Congress of the January 5, 2016 meeting that included the FBI director, President Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, National Security Advisor Susan Rice, and Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates. The meeting was revealed in an email sent by Rice herself on Inauguration Day. It was timed just 15 minutes after President Trump took office. Newsmax.com says that the House Intelligence Committee Vice Chair Adam Schiff said Tuesday the panel Democrats will not make any revisions to the response to the Republican memo alleged surveillance abuses by the FBI and Justice Department in the Russian probe. President Trump returned the Democratic response to the Intelligence Committee last week, citing concerns about classified information contained in the 10-page document. Coming from LifeNews.com this week, Representative Mark Meadows joined Senator Steve Daines, Senator Joni Ernst, and James Lankford, in introducing the Child Tax Credit for Pregnant Moms Act. The Child Tax Credit for Pregnant Moms Act would extend the existing Child Tax Credit to apply to the unborn child prior to birth and permit the credit to be claimed in the child's first year of life. The credit can only be claimed once the child is born, receives a Social Security number, or other tax identification number. LifeNews.com also reports the Planned Parenthood abortion business has filed suit against a pro-life law in the state of Ohio that protects unborn babies with Down syndrome. The law prohibits abortions when done specifically because an unborn child has been diagnosed with Down syndrome. Because the Planned Parenthood abortion business has never met an abortion it's not willing to perform, it has filed a lawsuit against the state law, which pro-life Governor John Kasich signed last year. Isn't it amazing, folks? We got to do away with Down syndrome. How do we do it? We kill unborn children in the womb who have Down syndrome. Let's see what else Planned Parenthood is up to. Planned Parenthood rolled out its political agenda for 2018 this week, including bills to force colleges to offer abortions on campus and to allow nurses to abort unborn babies. The Washington Examiner reports Planned Parenthood hosted a call with reporters Tuesday to highlight its pro-abortion agenda. Its leaders of the group plans to push pro-abortion initiatives in all 50 states. Don Ligons, the vice president of Planned Parenthood, said, quote, today, we're going on the offense. We've been marching, mobilizing, and organizing, and now we're channeling that into real policy change. Their goal is more abortion. The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals heard arguments yesterday about whether women should be allowed to discriminate against their own children's race or disability via abortion. Planned Parenthood and the ACLU are challenging an Indiana state law that prohibits abortions based solely on an unborn baby's sex, race, or disability, such as Down syndrome. In September, a federal judge appointed by President Barack Obama blocked the law. However, the state appealed to the Seventh Circuit Court. Signed by then-Governor Mike Pence, the law prohibits abortion doctors from knowingly aborting an unborn baby solely because of a genetic abnormality such as Down syndrome or because of the unborn baby's race or sex. The bill also has several other abortion-related measures, including a requirement that aborted or miscarried babies' bodies be cremated or buried and that abortionists who have hospital admitting privileges renew them annually. You see, ladies and gentlemen, unborn babies of color are discriminatorily targeted for abortion at extreme high rates. While black Americans constitute 13% of the U.S. population, 35% of the babies killed in abortions are black, according to the Centers for Disease Control. Many believe that Planned Parenthood and other abortion facilities also are targeting black women for abortions. One analysis found that the abortion chain placed 79% of its abortion facilities within walking distance of minority neighborhoods, reports LifeNews.com. Don't like the baby because it's black? Kill the baby. I mean, that is, Planned Parenthood is fighting in order for that to happen. You wanted a boy, you're having a girl? Kill the baby. What? Your child might have a disability? Kill the baby. We're so consumed with death. Look how appalled we are, and rightly so, when 17 are killed in a school shooting, but we think nothing as a nation when we're killing unborn babies, innocent babies in the womb. Another story from LifeNews.com. It is legal in the Netherlands for doctors and psychiatrists to lethally inject the sick, disabledly, elderly, and mentally ill who ask to die. It's not illegal for them to kill patients who've not repeatedly asked to die, but that happens anyway, and not rarely. Now in 2020, the Dutch are going to institute a presumed consent law, meaning that everyone is legally an organ donor unless they explicitly opt out. The Dutch Senate on Tuesday narrowly voted in favor of a new law to change the Dutch organ donation system to a yes unless register. The new system will allow anyone over the age of 18 and registered as resident in the Netherlands with their local authority, including foreign nationals. The government plans to send letters to people with options that they want regarding donation. Silence will be considered consent. By the way, an American flag, FoxNews.com reports, American flag at a high school in southwest Utah was found destroyed, replaced with an ISIS flag yesterday. An unknown perpetrator has taken down the flag at Hurricane High School, in which is the Washington County School District, and replaced it with what looked like a flag used by ISIS, police said. The American flag was left shredded at the scene. Also from Todd Starnes at Fox, the Star Spangled Banner no longer be displayed, or rather played at rallies at California High School in San Ramon after student leaders determined the song is racially insensitive. It was brought to our attention that the national anthem's third verse is outdated and racially offensive, wrote the president of the school-associated student body. We had nothing but good intentions by removing the song so that we could be fully inclusive to our student body. You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. If you'd like to comment on the stories today, our telephone number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. We'll be back in just a minute.
Is it important that we be aware of the signs of the times? Do Christians agree about the role of America in Bible prophecy? Is there a biblical evidence that the church will escape the tribulation period? Will only believers enter into Christ's millennial kingdom? These are just a few of the many questions addressed in the Bible Prophecy Answer Book by Ron Rhodes. Whether you're looking for quick instruction or you're eager to go deeper, this book will help you navigate prophetic scripture passages to better understand matters of eternal significance. Learn about Israel's rebirth, the Ezekiel invasion, the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, the Antichrist, Armageddon, the Great White Throne Judgment, and so much more. VCY is offering the Bible Prophecy Answer Book for a donation of $16 or two copies for a donation of $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a Friday news roundup. Much news happening this week. And if you'd like to comment on the stories that we've brought to your attention, or if you'd like to comment on some other current news event, feel free to pick up your phone. Give us a call here at 800-733-9829. Maybe you have some thoughts you'd like to share on the school shooting in Florida. And despite the fact that people said your prayers are too late or mean nothing, let's be praying for the many families that have been impacted by this. By the way, speaking of Florida, in Orlando, February 16th, that's today, 17th and 18th, this weekend, is the Time to Thrive, the fifth annual conference. What they say is promoting safety, inclusion, and well-being for LGBTQ youth everywhere. I've got to share the story with you from LifeSiteNews.com. About Christian parents losing custody of a daughter after refusing to transition her to male. Ohio government authorities forced parents to give up legal custody of their daughter after the mother and father said they opposed the girl's decision to identify as a boy and transition to being male. The Hamilton County Job and Family Services took legal custody of the teenage girl, 17 years old, who, according to court records, suffers from gender dysphoria. The teen is currently living with the maternal grandparents. The minor was diagnosed with depression, anxiety, and gender dysphoria after being hospitalized in 2016. Doctors decide that because she wants to identify as a male, she should be given testosterone and sex change drugs. But the girl's parents objected, arguing that they did not think that such treatment was in their daughter's best interest. Well, a juvenile court judge will determine if parental rights for the minor should be entirely stripped. Can you imagine this, folks? You have a girl that wishes to identify as a boy, or you have a boy that wishes to identify as a girl, and you say, no, we don't want this hormone change, you know, stuff to go into their system, and you object as a parent, and your parental rights are at stake? At stake are the parental rights, and who will make medical decisions as the legal guardians for the youngster? Pro-transgender doctors pressured the court in closing arguments, saying a ruling must come quickly, claiming that the girl needed opposite-sex hormones or else she may kill herself. Medical witnesses said the parents' rejection of their daughter's decision to identify as a male has made her suicidal. They termed the girl's circumstances a life-or-death situation. The court heard arguments that the girl's pro-transgender grandparents should take custody. We think the grandparents are the ones who have an open mind regarding sex change hormones, while the parents have been indicated that they are not open to it, the court-appointed guardian for the girl argued. The parents testify that they are only desirous for the best interest of their daughter. Brinkman reasoned that the girl's medically affirmed depression, anxiety, and dysphoria indicate that she is in no position to make decisions which would result in permanent psychological changes. It does not appear this child is even close to being able to make such a life-altering decision at this time, Brinkman observed. But folks, the parents right now are being faced with having their parental rights taken away from them because they do not affirm having these drugs induced in their child that would be hormone blocking or that which is going to give the hormones for the gender of which they wish to identify. Incidentally, from WEAU out of Eau Claire, the Wisconsin Assembly has approved a bill that would increase penalties for bestiality in the state of Wisconsin. The Assembly passed the bill yesterday and a voice vote goes to the Senate. It would make bestiality a felony punishable up to by 6 years in prison, presently just a misdemeanor in the state of Wisconsin. Let's go to the phone calls today. We're going to begin with Gary calling from Joplin, Missouri. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I was talking to some coworkers the other day about this shooting of the 17 kids in Florida, and one of them asked me, says, how can God allow something like this to happen? I said, now, wait a minute. I said, I'm 68 years old, and in the 60s, we took prayer out of school, and little by little we've taken God out of our country, mm-hmm. and we promote homosexuality marriage, we promote killing babies in the woman's womb, which is abortion, and we turn our backs on God, and yet when stuff like this happens, you wonder why God would allow it. Well, I think it maybe we're getting what we deserve as a country that's turned our back on God.
Mm. Gary, you've made, I believe, a very appropriate thought here in regard to this matter, because we've done exactly what you've said. We've thrown God out. You're not welcome here. You're not welcome in the public arena. You're not welcome in the schools. And so, therefore, when tragedy happens and we say, where were you, God? I mean, what a double standard.
Yeah. And our God is not a credit card God. We don't just use him when we need him. He's in our life every day.
Amen.
And as a Christian, without God, I would be nothing. And because of God, he's given me eternal life. And, you know, until this country turns back to God, we're going to see stuff like this.
Man's depravity is ever presented before us. As the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Amen.
Thank you, Gary, for the call. Eugene in Foley, Alabama, you're on the air.
Hello.
Eugene, you're on the air. Please go ahead.
I want to say that the solution to all our problems, homosexuality, marriages, abortion, and school shootings, is all because we've turned our back on God and taught his word and the Ten Commandments to our young people.
Thank you for making that observation here today, Eugene. Julie in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And I agree with the first caller when Gary said all of those things. I agree totally upon them. But we also need to take action. A lot of homes have video games in there that promote killings and murders and bloodshed. Get rid of those video games. They should be banned from even being purchased and put in the homes. They're teaching children to kill.
Yeah, they are, Julie. And then we see all the trailers that are airing and on television for movies in the theaters and everything else that glorifies killing and death and terror. And we go and people spend money. They spend money to go and watch this filth go on. And then there are those who watch this and say, yeah, let's do it. And when they act it out in real life, then all of a sudden there's a problem.
It's ironic that the Hollywood would blame the guns when it's not the guns that are killing the people. Hollywood blames the guns, and yet they're the ones that are guilty by putting on shows that kill people.
Julie, thanks.
And they're teaching.
Thank you for your call here today. Yeah. Our number is 800-733-9829. Phil is calling from Mitchell, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Yes, within the past few weeks, I was surfing a conservative Christian website, and it had a picture of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau wearing a blasphemous shirt. It had a picture of the shirt had a picture of the Last Supper, but they replaced the faces with emoji characters.
Hmm. What's your reaction to that, Phil?
I think Canada is much worse off than we are.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts today. Susan in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just wanted to make a comment that I think if the people on The View and other people like those would be quiet long enough, they too would hear the voice of God.
Mm, yeah.
And they wouldn't be doing the things that they are doing.
Isn't that outrageous that they would classify this as being a mental illness?
Yes, it is. Unbelievable.
Hey, Susan, thanks for your call. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Have a couple open lines right now. We have Paul calling next from Racine County. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Jim, and God bless you and your ministry and all you do for all of us out here throughout the nation of America. Hopefully it's not totally divided yet, but we're definitely going in that direction. Mm. I think the deal with the guns is that it's like pretty much everything else. We become so dumbed down in this country. We become so weak-minded. Yes, starting with the Lord God in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, my Savior. And sad to say, I just see this country going to the wayside at a much more rapid pace than ever before. I am 67 years old, and I've seen a lot of changes throughout the decades. And it literally scares me to see what's going to happen next. I think their main goal right now is gun control, and it's beyond gun control. It's disarming us totally. I read an article about a Democrat representative in Florida within a matter of hours after the shootings in Parkland, which is just totally devastating to the people and so on in the community. I totally understand, and my heart and my prayers are out to them. But this particular individual made it political real quickly by calling for universal gun control, and it's just another one of these people, and there's so many of them. I think we're outnumbered today, soon to be. And I believe the goal is to totally disarm us. And all I have to say in closing, if I may, is that all we got to do is look at the other countries that they have been disarmed. Look back in the Holocaust, what Hitler did. What do we learn from history? It's repeating itself. Thank you for the time, Jim. I appreciate it.
Paul, thank you so much. And the question is, what law would you pass that would have stopped this from taking place? You know, because one who was bent, or he said, well, again, keep in mind, this happened in a gun-free zone. It was against the law for him to have guns in the school. But guess what? If there's a will, that they're going to do that no matter what. Even if you ban a certain type of gun. Folks, keep in mind that there are underground channels in the black market to get them. Look at what MS-13 gang members are getting and smuggling and getting into our country. So by passing a law saying, no, you can't have this, you think that's going to stop it? Eric in Sussex, you're on the air.
Hi. I guess I'd just like to say one wrong doesn't make another wrong right. I definitely believe that. I just wonder how come there wasn't all these people up in arms when Obama openly sent, I believe it was 50 of our federally paid people to go and sway openly the Israeli elections years ago.
Hmm.
I'm just a blue collar guy. It's like, isn't this 1+1 stuff?
Yeah. So, it doesn't make sense, does it?
No. That was just mine. I wish there would at least be some rebuttal from the other parties as to why it wasn't important then, now it is, or also why it's important now that gun control be mandated, but not a rebuttal towards, well, what about the places that did illegalize weapons and crime rates went up? At least give a rebuttal and some sort of intellectual, where are you coming from? But if you can't even get that, like trying to coexist with people that don't want to see Christians on the face of the earth. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you for your program, and hope the weekend is good for all of us.
Eric, thank you for your participating in the broadcast as well here today on Crosstalk. When's the last mass shooting you saw take place at a gun show, folks? When you think of all the guns that are there, when's the last mass shooting that's happened there? We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. By the way, again, folks, don't be fooled through all the glitz and glamour of the Olympics about the smile of North Korea. There are Christians being persecuted on account of their faith right now. Many, 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 many in North Korea. The largest country of abusing human rights and persecution against Christians is North Korea. Don't be fooled by their smiles during the Olympics.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. In our last commentary, we looked at the fact that Russia and China are building an ever-increasing close alliance as they come against their common enemy, America. Well, we shouldn't be shocked. The former Soviet Union is still run by a man that was head of the FSB. The old KGB, Vladimir Putin. China, we know, is Red China. So basically, we have two nations that embrace aspects of a communist worldview. No wonder they would want to come against America and our capitalist system, and to challenge us as the economic and military superpower of the world. Oftentimes, groups will unite for different reasons to accomplish their own specific goals and objectives. Who will be in charge, Russia or China? Well, they'll work that out later. But for now, they're united in their destruction of America, which includes undermining our military, our economy, and be involved in an economic and cyber war against America.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a News Roundup Friday, giving you opportunity to comment on this week's news stories. So we're going to Oregon. And Robert, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, I agree with your first caller. When you take God out of a country, and when our nation was founded upon God, out of schools and everything else, you're going to have chaos. And so therefore, I think that since Washington's birthday, our most famous president is on the 19th, this coming Monday, we as a nation need to all get together and pray and fast. I like Vice President Pence. He doesn't mind wearing his faith on his collar and on his sleeve. So do I. So therefore, let us all get together and worship Jesus and ask him to this is evil. This is a spiritual battle. As long as we don't recognize God, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, it's going to get worse. There's going to be more gun shootings. There's going to be more people murdering little babies and all this. So we need to get together, say this coming Monday, and all of us who hear us on the radio, and worship and ask Jesus to help and save.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts on that, Robert. Incidentally, as a FYI, Monday is not the Washington's birthday. It is President's Day, Washington's birthday later in the week. But in order to make it a three-day holiday, it's been declared President's Day, that Monday date. Brian in Portage, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to say all you saints out there, I agree with everything everybody said, and the gun shootings. In the last days, the good are going to get better, and the bad are going to get worse. Is all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. As Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "The evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived." Thank you for the call, Travis in Zimmerman, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to make a quick comment on the gun control thing. We can make laws all we want to keep the gun under control. We can ban guns and get rid of them, whatever the case be. But bad guys are still going to get them. Just like bad guys still get the drugs. You got the drug dealers bringing them in. Everybody that wants the drugs, they get them. And that'd be the same with guns. Anybody that wants guns that ain't supposed to have them under some kind of laws, they're going to get them, and they're still going to commit crimes, and then the good guys ain't going to have guns to protect themselves.
Thanks for your thoughts, Travis. Appreciate it. Mary is next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to comment in the wake of the gender business. Anyway, until the collective Christian community understands that it's under outrageous assault, this outrageousness is going to continue. I think the collective Christian community has got to get on the same page and understand that they are under, they, me, any Christian is under assault and has to take collective action, because this outrage just keeps coming, and I don't see an end to it until the collective Christian community understands that they're under assault and starts to fight back collectively.
Thank you.
That's my comment.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
And Mary's talked about getting on the same page. Folks, the page has already been written on this matter of genderism. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. The page is there. Let's stick to it. Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. These people like to talk about, oh, he's mentally ill, he's mentally ill. Okay, well, then get off the guns, because it's not a gun issue if he's mentally ill. It's already against the law for mentally ill people to have guns. Now, this country is already okay with murder. We murder the unborn every day, and they're okay with murdering the infirm, too. Remember Terry Schiavo?
Yeah.
Just like pre-war Germany, they were okay with euthanasia. When they built the death camps, they didn't just start building new death camps. They added to the death camps they already had because they were doing euthanasia. So Hitler just added to it. And if we think this thing can't happen again, Hitler's Holocaust, think again. That people think, oh, we're so enlightened now and we're so educated. Baloney. We'll end up having to worship Allah or worship some lefty dictator or die. And it can happen today.
Yeah, yeah. You're exactly right. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Mike in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Just have to say, because you guys put me on fire, me and my brother down in Marquette, and by a Planned Parenthood down there, you know, with abortion kills babies, and that's legalized murder abortion, and also another clinic and shared the gospel. And like to say, I gave District Attorney Michael McCann, when the Jeff Dahmer case was, you know, mass murder in Milwaukee, I gave him the case for a good book that by Missouri Synod, that Satanism was what he was involved in, and he was a lone wolf Satanist, and he did evil. And McCann won the fact that he was evil and could make a choice versus that he was innocent by mental illness. I talked to the attorney on the other side, too. Mm-hmm. Then like to say that the Slim Man, you know, stabbing girls in Waukesha with the teenage girls, they heard voices and got involved in evil, and the Columbine shooting, Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, who believe in God, to Cassie Burnell, and they got involved with evil from Marilyn Manson Group. God bless you. Thank you.
Leo is next in Fort Myer, Florida. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to say it's a really nice show. I'm a truck driver, and whenever I get a chance, I put you on, and it's really nice to hear. I wanted to comment in regards to what the first person said about the schooling and everything, and I do agree 100% that we kicked God out of our schools, out of our whole lives, and I think that's, you know, that's a big issue that I would really like to see the government try to put it back, because I believe that, you know, like the Bible says, when the kids are young at an early age, you know, if you teach them the way of God, when they get older, they will not be apart from Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a question to you. What do you think as far as, I don't know, I'm seeing a trend, and maybe I'm wrong, that's why I wanted your personal opinion. I'm seeing a trend of a new version of Christianity today where I've noticed that a lot of Christians are, I don't know if it's something lately or what's going on, but I see there's a lot of anger. I don't know if it's that we've most of us have thought that we've been forgotten or what, but I'm kind of concerned because I have a lot of family.
And Leo, I apologize, but our closing music is playing. I've got less than 30 seconds left in the program here today, but thanks for the observations you're making here today. Everything we do in our life, let me just say this to sum things up, needs to be by God's Word and to be faithful to what God has written to us. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.